Good morning, good morning, good morning. Somebody say good morning. We got 14 more minutes left of morning as we're getting ready to walk into noon. We're so thankful to be able to celebrate this service experience with you. And we just want to again say happy Easter. We're so happy. I know we got some congestion in the hallways and stuff like that. We got a great number of people. I'm so thankful to be able to share this experience with everybody from yesterday, where we had so many kids at our Easter egg hunt. They gave away over 180 prizes to our kids, and everybody walked away with just so many bags and of candy. So you're welcome, parents, for all that sugar that we just want to invest into your children. All that energy, and our service yesterday, which filled this room, our 9 a.m., then here in 11. You know, it takes about nearly 100 volunteers to make this weekend happen. From all different areas, from those that helped with the hunt to those that helped park your cars, all the way through to our kids' ministry. I mean, so many areas. Can we just let our volunteers know how thankful we are for them and their service? They don't do it for the applause, but I'm telling you, we just want to appreciate them so much. I'm telling you what, it's a good, good time. Well, I apologize. I'm going to be pulling this shirt down a bit. I thought that I could fit into it, and throughout the message, I'm going to kind of look like the Bruce Banner turning into the Incredible Hulk as the buttons just kind of spread open like that. So, my wife is pregnant, and I've been mysteriously gaining weight, and because she has said the most incredible stuff as of late. She's like a vegetarian, but since she's been pregnant, she said something to me that was so amazing about a month ago. She said, "Jesse," and I said, "Yeah," and she goes, "I could really go for a roast beef sandwich." I was so turned on in that moment. It was a powerful experience. I was like, "Let's go." I mean, let's go to Lion's Choice. Amen. So we've gone there several times since, and it's just been awesome. Our marriage has never been closer. Amen. Hey, if you got your Bibles, we're just going to talk about God's Word here this morning. You know, we really put a lot of thought into what this weekend could be, and you know us, we have done all kinds of different pageants and dramas and stuff like that on Easter. For crying out loud, we turned this whole platform at one point into Da Vinci's painting of the Last Supper at one point, and we made the painting come to life. We do a lot of stuff here. Today, this weekend, a few months ago, we met as a creative team, and we just felt in prayer, man, let's just dig open God's Word and talk about Jesus in a way that we truly believe illustrates this particular weekend and the impact that it has on our lives as people. And so we're just going to do that here this morning. And so I want to kick off here this talk. We're not going to keep you long. It's okay if a message isn't long. Everybody said? Amen. Amen. Most sinners feel that way. Amen. So John chapter 8. John chapter 8, we're going to read verse 12, and then we're going to walk over to Matthew chapter 5. I'm going to read a couple verses 14, 15, and 16, and then we'll dig into today's talk here. But this is kind of where we want to launch from. John chapter 8, verse 12, if you're following along with us on the app, we got it for you there. We got it for you on the screen. We want to connect in with what we're reading here. It says this. It says, "When Jesus," that's who we're here to talk about today, "spoke again to the people, he said, 'I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life.'" And then Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, it's right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, and he says this, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for your truth. Lord, we're not up here to preach a great message. We're up here, God, to brag on a great truth. And Lord, we pray for that truth to just come to life in our lives. Motivate us to action, God, as we have an experience with your word this morning that we're honored to have. Guide me. I pray, Lord, every word I speak, that I would be an authentic, raw echo of what you're saying to us, your people, here this morning. God, I remove my opinions from this message. God, I just want to preach your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I love this scripture right here. I love John chapter 8, verse 12. If we could go back to that, Danny, if that's possible. I love this scripture right here. I want to give just a brief breakdown on it because I really believe there's some cool truth here that we can gain from it. And it says this. It says, Jesus, speaking to the people, he starts off and he makes this statement about himself. He gives this statement about himself being the light of the world. Imagine this incredible visual that he's giving this world that he's so often likened to darkness. If you've read the four Gospels, you see often where Jesus references the world we live in to darkness. Because how many know we live in a dark world? I mean, all you need to do is pick up a newspaper or turn the news on to find that out, that there is evil in this world. You can see that right on your MSN home screen or your Yahoo home screen. I mean, you can see evil in this world, and it doesn't take long to look at how dark our world truly is. And he, Jesus, is saying that in it, he is this incredible illuminant. That he is this focal point of warm, bright light in a world so dark and cold. That's what he's saying about himself. And he says that something happens when we follow him, right? It says, whoever follows me. Now, we've been talking in recent weeks here at Journey Church what it means to follow Christ. I mean, because when I first heard that, I mean, I didn't grow up in church, so I didn't know what follow Jesus meant. I thought you actually had to follow him, like he was actually going places. Like, but that's not what being a follower of Christ means, to follow him to different geographical location points. I mean, you've never met anybody that does that, right? Like, hey, where are you going? I'm just following Jesus. Where's he going? He's going to Hardee's to get a $6 burger, and that's where I'm going. Although that would be a very cool excuse on why you're at Hardee's to get a $6 burger, but I doubt Jesus is headed over there after this service. I think he might. We'll just head over there anyway. But anyhow, it doesn't mean to just follow him geographically. Literally, to be a follower of Christ means to follow his commands. Are you following him? Are you following the commands of Christ? Are we following the example that he left for you and I to live our lives by? And the benefit in that, in following his example, in adhering to his commands into our life, a benefit to that, he says right there on the fourth line in blue that you and I will never walk in darkness because we have the light of life. We will never walk in darkness. That is an incredible, amazing promise. Now, I'd like to dig into that promise. Dig into that statement just a bit more. Because I believe many, like myself when I did, at first glance, would perhaps have a skewed interpretation on what that means. Because I believe many of us would read that, and like I did when I first, like, wow, that means once you start following Jesus, never going to walk in darkness, everything's going to be incredible. Like, it's just all lights on from here on. I mean, it is incredible stuff, blessing day after day after day. You're going to go to bed with angels kissing your face, wake up, angels, throwing rose petals all over you, singing songs to you. Just life is going to be incredible on a high from here on out, right? I'm never going to walk in those dark places again. I don't believe for a second but I've had to learn along the way that I don't believe for a second that scripture means that we will not experience dark days. I don't believe that scripture means that we will not find ourselves in dark situations, that dark times won't arrive at the doorstep of a follower of Christ. Friends, I'm one of those people that believe that Christians are not exempt from the ER. I don't believe that Christians are exempt from getting sick. Now, I've met people, there's a gospel that's kind of being preached. They call it the health and wealth gospel. It is like, you know, you see a lot of that TV preacher stuff. It's like where there is just, it is all good all the time. You know what I'm saying? It's just, it is never sour, never bad. Christians don't get ill. Christians don't get sick. And I'm just like, Christians, we do experience those times. I met somebody that believes that. At one point, I was sitting there talking to him for a while, and then I heard him go, and it was one of those nasty ones. You know what I'm saying? Like the stuff started flowing out, and it was just, wow. And I said, hey, man, are you okay? I said, why? Of course I am. I said, man, are you sick? And they said, don't you say that about me. I said, well, what? He goes, don't you put that label on me. I am not sick. I am a child of the living God. I am healed. And I'm like, what you are is disgusting because you shook my hand and you are sick. You should have told me that you weren't. I am feeling well. I'm, you know. It's like, go take some Robitussin and pray or do something. Just get away from me right now. You know, it's just people. We can't have bad things happen to us. I don't believe that Christians are exempt from financial troubles. I don't believe that Christians are exempt from loss in our families. I don't believe that Christians are exempt from relationship issues, that we're exempt from the trying times found in temptation to the moments where we most assuredly trip and fall, just like everybody else. How many know? Everyone has dark days. Everyone does. But what this scripture here is saying that we read in John 8:12 is that darkness will no longer define you. When Jesus is saying that we will never walk in darkness, he's speaking more in a blindness context. If you were to look at the contextual meaning of what he was saying that you will be able to see, that your steps will no longer be guided by darkness because now you have a light, and when you have light, you have sight. Because when you walk without light, that means you're walking without sight. It's a really simple principle. No light, no sight. But Jesus is saying, with me, you can see. Jesus is saying that because of him, I won't walk. Me, Jesse, this guy that looks like the Hulk coming to life right now, this guy right here will never walk another step in the life I've been given where I cannot see. Jesus is saying that because of him, I won't wake up to another day where I cannot see, regardless of the challenges that I will wake up to at times, regardless of the dark trials that I'll find myself in, regardless of the amount of people and haters that stand at the edge of my life and at the edge of your life trying to cloud our vision. Jesus is saying that we won't walk another step in this life without the ability to see. See what? See a way out. See what? See a way around. See what? See a way over the mountain that's standing in front of me. See what? Yeah, I see how bad the medical report is that you're giving me, but what I see now is a God that is bigger than the medical report. Yeah, I see the bills that are stacking up in my life, but what I also see is a God who is providing, and there's provision on the other end of it. How many are thankful that I once was blind, but now I see? Will never walk in darkness. Friends, we serve a caring, loving God. Psalm chapter 8, verses 3 and 4, David, the author, says, when I look at your heavens, have you ever just looked at the beauty and the visual that just is over an open sky at night? When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, he says. The moon and the stars, he says, which you have set into place. It's all so big. It's all so beautiful. It's all so grand. It is so big. The creation is so big. God, you are a creator. You're so big. When I look at all of it and how big it is, he says, who am I? What is man that you are mindful of us? Meaning, you not only maintain all this, but yet your mind is focused in on little old me. Friends, he loves you. And he wants you to see. How many are thankful for the sight he gives us because of the light that he is to us and the light that is within us? And that's part of today's talk that I want to illustrate here to you today. Really kind of want to dig in on that focus because he said something unique in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, where he said this, "You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world." You really don't see that too often in Scripture, where you and I have the same title as him. I mean, how does that happen? How does that happen? How does that happen where he is the light of the world and we are the light of the world? It's really kind of simple, friends, the more you kind of understand what it means to serve him, because we're not here to celebrate religion. We're here to celebrate a resurrection. We're here to live in the power of a personal relationship that we find with the light of the world. You see, he is the light of the world. We could turn off all of these lights in this room and everyone would arrive at this one little light that is a focal point. He is the light in darkness. And here's what happens. This is how he can be the light of the world and you are the light of the world, as friends, because we're not here to pay homage to a religion. This is a personal relationship. We believe Christianity is a personal encounter with that living God, that we're not here just to sing and worship a truth that is 2,000 years old, friends, but it is new every morning. And with that encounter that we have, friends, something happens to us. That flame begins to find its way burning on the inside of us. What is on him becomes in us, friends. The light of the world, the flame. How many know I love Scripture? It says our God is a consuming fire. The nature of fire is to consume. And when you get close to him, you get caught. You get set ablaze. And that's how it happens, friends. It happens when you have an encounter with him. When you have an encounter with the light of the world, you become the light of the world. You are never the same again. Can we say these words? We are the light of the world. We are the light of the world. I believe that every person in this room is the light of the world, because he says that every person in this room is the light of the world. No matter the darkness that is around you, no matter the challenges that surround you, you are the light of the world. Amen. Now, for me, that's an easy thing to amen. Right? I mean, it's easy to amen in church. But when all hell's breaking loose outside these walls, when life hits, when the dark times arrive, do we believe it then? Especially, I guess I'll say it this way. I really don't think we see that about ourselves, that we are the light of the world, especially when the proverbial sun is out and everything is going our way. I don't know. I don't think we focus on that. You know what I've learned in my relationship with Jesus is sometimes I really don't see all that God can do through us and in us until the lights go out in life, until darkness comes in. And I find myself in a dark situation. And as we said in the beginning of this talk, those times will certainly arrive at the life of a follower of Christ. I mean, Scripture shows that time and time again. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. This is Peter, right, talking to the church. He says, "And after you have suffered," isn't that what it says? "After you have suffered a little while." I hated that it says that. It'd be a lot better if it says, "And after they have suffered a little while," right? It's not so pointed at me, like, "Hey, no, watch the yous." You know, after you, this is what he's saying, have suffered a little while. He's talking to the church, friends. He says, "The God of all grace, though, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you." James 1:2 says, "Blessed is the one who remains steadfast under trial." Not under good times all the time. Under trial. "For when they have stood the test, they will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him." Romans chapter 12, verse 12 says, "Rejoice in hope." I don't know about you, but I hate rejoicing in hope. I like to get stressed out in hope, because the nature of hope is what? I don't have something, and I want something, and I hope that it comes, right? That means you're in a place of lack. You're in a place of uncertainty. And it's saying right here, in these moments of uncertainty, rejoice in moments of uncertainty. How many just love to rejoice in moments of uncertainty? I know my dance moves look good. You don't got to tell me. Amen. But we don't like to rejoice in moments of uncertainty. But that's what it's saying. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. John 16:33, Jesus himself said, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace, because in this world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus and his word so often states that we'll have tough, dark times. But I love what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, Journey Church, hear this right now. It is saying that we won't find ourselves in a situation. We won't find ourselves in a temptation that can overtake us that is not common to man. He says that God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, it's saying that God will always provide a way of escape so that you and I can endure what it is that we find ourselves in the challenging times. Why does God say, why does his word say that we can endure anything that life throws our way? Why does God's word say that you and I can endure anything that our enemy may throw our way? Because it's in those times where God says, we are the light of the world. He wants you to see it right there. Not when just the sun is out, but you need to see it when darkness comes. That you are the light of the world. That darkness may surround you, but it won't define you. Kind of like a glow stick. You know, and the thing about a glow stick is that you really don't see it emit its light until the lights turn off. Now, everybody put your glow sticks down. Can you see mine? You can't, right? Because something hasn't happened yet to this glow stick. And this is the thing that I want to look at here in a glow stick. Is that you don't see it emit its light until the lights are off. But then in the darkness, what needs to happen to this glow stick is that it needs to bend. And it needs to break. And it needs to be twisted. And it's then when it's twisted. And it's then when it's being broken. And it's then when it's being shaken about in the darkness. And it's being thrown about by whatever force that may be trying to bring it in a hard time. It's then and only then, friends, when you truly see its beauty and its purpose. Now, when the lights are on, this is just some green weird stick. But when the lights are off, then and only then can you see what it truly can do. The nature of light, friends, is that it shines in darkness. What are we here to celebrate this weekend? Right? We're here to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Did you hear what I just said? The resurrection, meaning he was dead and now he is alive. The resurrection of Jesus. Jesus Christ, you know, who on Thursday night was captured, arrested and imprisoned overnight, and Friday released before an angry mob of religious rulers and an angry crowd that chanted, crucify him, crucify him. And they were handed over, he was handed over to the Roman governor who ordered that he be flogged and strapped to a Roman flogging post, beat within an inch of his life, friend. 3 nails put him on a cross that they hung him on for 6 hours that Friday. And 6 hours later, he breathed his last when he said, "Into your hands, Father, I commit my spirit." And Scripture says that he hung his head and died. Pulled off that cross Friday. Wrapped up and laid in a borrowed tomb. Tomb owned by a man named Joseph from Arimathea, Scripture says. And it wasn't until that stone, I mean, can you see inside of that tomb? No, it's a dark place. It wasn't until he was put in that dark place and you put a stone over the opening of that tomb, it's darker than it is. And it wasn't until that stone was rolled over the opening of that borrowed tomb, when everyone saw defeat, when everyone saw darkness had won, what he saw was nothing but an opportunity to shine. What did Jesus say the night before he was captured during the Last Supper, as he was giving his disciples the most prophetic picture of what was about to take place, when he said to them in Luke 22:19, when he said this, "And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he what? He broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This which I'm breaking, this which I am breaking, this which I am breaking is my body, which is given for you.'" It wasn't until darkness completely surrounded his, watch me now, broken body, that a light began to shine. And can I tell you this right now? It hasn't gone out since that moment. Amen. How many are thankful for the light that shines in Jesus? Amen. We sing a song here at Journey Church. There is a light and it burns brighter than the sun. There is a light and it doesn't cast the shadow. There is a light, friends, and it wants to shine forgiveness and love and power and grace and mercy on you and I, his humanity, his creation that he loves so dearly, and a light that wants to find its place to shine in your life so that you can see what he has for you today and every day after. How many are thankful for the light, friends? You may be in a dark place right now, but let him impact you. Regardless of what you're going through, and some of you, I can barely see you, but I can see the way some of you are looking at me like, you don't even know what I'm going through. You're right. I don't, but I can tell you this. Sometimes it's the darkest places where light has the most impact. Let him impact you. Have an encounter with him. And watch what happens. Watch what happens to your life, friends. He wants to use you. Is Reagan, are you still in the back there, brother? He was there in the first service too this morning. Reagan, we had a great service experience this past week, or last weekend, and right here, right after worship, all the lights went off, and then a light, a solo light, shone on Reagan Summer. Some of you know Reagan Summer, say, I never would have thought I'd see a light shining on Reagan Summer in a church. I'm sure he didn't either, but a light shone on Reagan, and Reagan, I had the privilege to know him. I graduated with Reagan from Troy. And he, in 60 seconds, read just a brief overview of his story. Now, for those of you who know Reagan, that's a miracle alone. Because he likes to talk. Amen. And he shared in 60 seconds some of the most incredible testimony of what Jesus has been to his life. And Reagan started off by just sharing some of the dark places that he was in. He used words like addiction and incarceration in description of the dark places in his past. and how his life was without hope and didn't think that there was a future in his life. And I watched that story take a turn when he said, but Jesus came in and gave him a hope and gave him a future. And now he's going to college, pursuing a degree, and he's volunteering here at this church. For those of you that may not have seen him, he likes to rudely stop your car and dance in front of it. You know, he's just happy about the life that's inside of him, and he's volunteering at a church, and he gave God all the glory, and he's got a future paved by his Creator as he's discovering his dream. How many are thankful for what's happening in lives like Reagan Summer? And I'm sitting there and I'm hearing his story on the front row and I'm just blown away and I'm hearing God get the glory in his story. And I'm thinking, man, like he's telling the story of out of his incarceration and his addiction. And I'm just thinking, man, God is so good. Like nothing that he's been through has been for waste. That God uses everything in our stories and somehow turns it to use for his glory. Some of us just walk through life with such remorse about the mistakes and the failures and the pitfalls in our past. But let me tell you how amazing God is. He can take everything you've been through and make sure that it wasn't for waste, that he can turn it and use it to shine on just how good he is. I'm not saying that God sends the negative times into our life, but there isn't anything that he can't take. There isn't anything that he can't fix. And there isn't anything that he can't repair and use to shine to a world out there that is dark. Because I guarantee you, with Reagan, somebody was in the room last weekend. I guarantee you somebody was in the room last weekend saying to themselves in the seat that I've been incarcerated and I can't be used for great things. Wait a minute, maybe I can. Some of you are like, wait a minute, there are people in the seats that have been incarcerated? Yes, welcome to Journey Church, amen. They're everywhere. Look at some of you. Get your purse a little closer to you, sweetheart. That's great, that's good. They're all over. Friends, God will use every square inch of your story to shine how good he can be through life's tough times. One scripture we love here at this church, Journey Church, you know we do, Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things, not just the good things, but the bad things too, in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. I want to ask Allie if she would to come as we close this talk today. Don't be intimidated by darkness, because Jesus wasn't. Isn't that what we're here to celebrate? He wasn't intimidated by darkness. It was just an opportunity to shine as the light of the world that he is. Don't be intimidated by tough times. Isn't that what we're here to celebrate? He wasn't. He just used it as an opportunity to shine. Don't be intimidated by life's challenges. Don't be intimidated by anything, friends. Be courageous. Stay close to Jesus. Follow his example and shine, because God wants to use your life to make an impact on the world around you. Because a big part of the blessing in allowing your light to shine isn't just to bless your life, which is an incredible thing in itself, but to shine out to the lives of others as well. What did he say in Matthew 5? Right, you are the light of the world. And he goes right down the third line from the top. He says, fourth line. He says, let your light shine before others. So what? So that they may see. Because there's a world out there, friends, that is defined by darkness, and they need to see. They need to see the light of the world. So don't be intimidated, friends. Some of you have been through too much to let darkness intimidate you now. Somebody told me a little bit ago, or just recently, they said, hey, did you hear what so-and-so said about you? How many know anytime somebody ever says that about you? It's usually not great things. They said, did you hear what so-and-so said about you? I said, no. And they said, well, this is what they said. It was a very negative opinion. And they said, what do you think about that negative opinion they have of you? And I said, who cares? Right? Like, what? It doesn't bother you? Man, it ticks me off when people say that. Oh, I don't care. What do you mean? I've watched God take me, a punk teenager. I didn't grow up in church. By the time I was 13, friends, I had handcuffs around my wrist twice. Just involved in a drug scene. Wait, there isn't any time to be involved, but man, so early in life and just doing the stupid things that I was doing. And I watched God take me, a punk teenager, and put me in the pew of a church and turn my life around and plant in me purpose that I never thought I would be able to experience. And since then, he's blessed me with a wife that I never thought would be possible. I mean, look at her and look at me. Oh, my Lord, you are good. In the name of Jesus, you are good. I never thought would be possible. He's blessed me with two incredible kids, boys that I never thought would be possible. And another one now that I never thought would be possible. Especially that one. I really didn't think that would be possible. I watched God take our family here with barely two pennies to rub together and grow a church that literally astounds me every single day when person after pastor told me it couldn't be done. And now I've watched God take this church to a level where we have a deed to a property that is going to change this community from the inside out. And I looked at him and I said, God brought me through all that. I think I can make it through some joker's negative opinion about me. I think I can make it. I think I'll live to see another day. I'm here to tell you, friends, God wants to shine through your life and give you sight to allow you to see the dream he has for your life. Don't be intimidated by the darkness. Do you have that Robert Alden quote? I love this quote right here. There is not enough darkness in all the world to put out the light of even one small candle. Isn't that true? Not enough darkness in the world to put out the light of one small candle. You are the light of the world. I want to ask our leadership, if they would, to come to the front. And as they make their way to the front, I want to ask you to consider something. I want you to ponder a question as we close this talk right now. Do you know Jesus? Do you know him? I didn't ask if you went to church. I didn't ask if you're a good person. I didn't ask if you're a bad person. I just asked, do you know Jesus? I didn't ask if you know of him. Do you know him? Do you talk to him? Does he talk to you? Because friends, if you don't know him, darkness defines your life, and you probably find yourself very, very miserable at times, very miserable, trying to fill your life up with things that just aren't doing the job. You still go to bed empty. You still wake up searching for purpose. Do you know him? Because, friends, I want to tell you this. He wants to know you. And the only way to walk into a relationship with him is for you to take that step and say, hey, I want to know you. I want to have an encounter with you. And friends, if you have an encounter with him, if you walk that walk and have an encounter with the Son of God, what happens is something happens on the inside of you. A flame begins to burn and you start to see things you never thought were possible. I didn't say you're not going to have dark days, but friends, you got a light now, and you'll never walk in darkness without seeing again. Do you know him? Or maybe what I just illustrated in this room has happened in your life. Maybe the light went out. Maybe you've walked away. What I love about a candle is it can always be relit. Maybe Maybe you're in this room today and you've got a need in your life and it's a dark, dark place. And you're starting to feel intimidated. Sometimes the best thing that you can do is get around another light. Two candles burn brighter than one. Can you go back to that scripture? Matthew 5. I love that. It says, you are the light of the world, right? Talking singularly to you. But I love the next two words in that scripture. He says, a city. That means more than one light. That's a bunch of lights put together, right? I remember when I lived out west in Arizona, I was driving to San Diego in the middle of the night, which was 6.5 hours from where I lived, and we drove through the dark California desert in the middle of the night, and I just could not wait to get there. I couldn't wait to arrive. And we waited and we waited. It was just dark out there in the desert. And I was like, when are we going to get there? But then there came a time where over the horizon edge of a mountain, we just started to see a glow behind that edge of the mountain. And the closer we got to it, the glow started to get brighter and brighter. And then we got over those mountains and there it was. We saw the city of San Diego lit up. It was a beautiful sight because I knew we had arrived. Friends, maybe that's you. You've just been cruising through a desert in life. I want to tell you today, you've arrived at a city filled with hope, a city full of people that can relate. I said a city filled with people that can relate. Amen, Journey Church. Anybody at Journey Church, get your glow stick out. Anybody at this church, you've ever found yourself in a difficult relationship and you didn't see how God could fix it, or God could bring you out of it, but somehow inexplicably you found yourself free and God worked grace and mercy and power through a tough relationship. Anybody got a light to shine in that area? If you can look around, friends, you're not alone. Anybody at this church, you ever found yourself in a difficult financial setting where you couldn't see a way that your bills could ever be paid? But God came through. Somehow, you can't explain it, but God came through somehow. And you stand on the other side of that tough time provided for. Anybody, wave a light. As you can see, you're not alone in this room. Anybody ever find yourself with a doctor's report filled with grim and filled with despair, but God somehow brought you through and you can't explain it? Any lights to shine? As you can see in this room, you're not alone. We experience the same trials of life, friends, but we shine through them because we see through them. Can we stand to our feet here this morning? In other words, friends, what I'm asking is for you not to shine alone. I want to encourage you before you leave. I'm going to pray and then we're going to dismiss. But before you walk out those doors, friends, if you want to know Jesus or you want to feel the encouragement of faith being set next to your life and your faith, I want to ask you before you walk out those doors to walk up to this altar like many have before you in the service and allow us to pray with you. We're normal folks just like everybody else. We just want to set our faith next to yours and believe God to do great things in your life. Amen. God, I thank you so much just for the opportunity to be here this morning, to gather together, celebrate your resurrection, be here on Easter, God. I thank you for this day. And there could be no better day, God, to give our lives to you than Easter Sunday. What a way to honor your resurrection, God, by letting the light of the world make us the light of the world as well. So, Lord, I pray every person in the seat that don't know you, God, that instead of walking out those doors, that they would feel the pull to the front, God, and let us just make that stand with them and rejoice in that experience. God, let us see needs met in this room. Let us see people healed in this room. Let us see people delivered in this room. Let us see people experience your love and power like never before in this room, in this moment. We love you, Lord, and we can't wait to come back here next week to celebrate with you as you're with us all throughout this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you, Journey Church. We love you. Don't forget to come and get prayer. We'll see you right back here next week. Bye-bye.